Tuesday. I'm Hernan Salas with you on the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On podcast. On today's show, we're going to be joined by TSN 1260 Connor Halley, who works on the Jason Gregor Show as a producer. My good friend will join me to talk all things NHL. There was a signing by the Edmonton Oilers as they lock up forward Patrick Russell to a one-year deal. Again, another depth signing by the Oilers. It's one that no one should mind, I guess. 45 games last season, he had 5 assists in those, and he'll come in if there's injuries to your bottom six. So Patrick Russell does sign with the Edmonton Oilers. We'll talk to Connor briefly about this signing for your Edmonton Oilers. We'll also hit on the 2 games tonight as the New York Islanders take on the Philadelphia Flyers, looking to close out that series up 3-1. Same goes for the Vegas Golden Knights, also up 3-1 here as they lead the Vancouver Canucks. I shouldn't say I'm surprised by either of these series. Both teams that are leading are very, very well-rounded teams. Vancouver, I thought, you know, that game 4 was a tough loss for them for sure. And Philadelphia, just, you know, their big guys are not stepping up in for them here. So we'll see what happens tonight in a couple game 5 elimination scenarios. And just one quick note, if you did miss it yesterday, as Manny V, former Oilers assistant coach and a coach, of course, of the Swift Current Broncos and last season with the Spokane Chiefs, has taken on as the head coach of the Henderson Silver Knights, of course, the Vegas Golden Knights AHL affiliate team. So congratulations to Manny V there as he is announced as the new head coach for the Vegas Golden Knights AHL affiliate team. Hey, support us by supporting our sponsors. Go to manscaped.com and use code LOCK to get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming and offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. If you want to connect with me, find me on Twitter at HernanTheMan, at LockedOnOilers, and also give us a follow at LockedOnPods. And don't forget to subscribe and download on your favorite app for the latest episodes. And I'm pleased to be joined by TSN 1260's own Connor Halley, of course, the producer on the Jason Gregor Show and many other titles, a big NFL guy as well. Connor, thank you for joining me. How you doing?
I am doing good, Hernan. Thanks for the invite. We're not talking Leonard Fournette on this podcast, are we?
No, unfortunately, no. How many destinations can you go to and all that?
We could spend an hour on that.
Yeah, definitely some breaking news there. We had some news from the Oilers. I wouldn't say it's breaking or huge or anything like that. But Patrick Russell does sign a one-year deal, just over $700,000. I mean, 27 years old, you know, played 45 games last season, only had 5 assists. He's one of those guys that we're not going to spend too much time here on the pod talking about, but it is a signing for the Edmonton Oilers. Patrick Russell, he's just one of those 13th, 14th forward in your eyes. Like, it's not a guy that's going to be a regular, I don't think. This team's going to improve. I can see Patrick Russell playing less than the 45 games he played last season. Just your thoughts on this small signing by the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, I think by all accounts, a good guy to have in the room, well-liked, and that definitely does play a role for an NHL hockey club. The 45 games, yeah, like you said, I think if you want to be a better team, that number is going to go down, but I think he's just someone you want to keep around, you know, for that 12-13 spot. If he goes back down to the AHL, good player to have down there, good leader, and was productive at that level. So I think you're probably making this deal in hopes that he can kind of take that leap. Worst case scenario, it's, what, a one-year deal, very low cap it. So you're not really hurting yourself with this move. I think it's just kind of, let's keep him around, reward him for being, you know, a good guy with the organization, and hopefully he can get that first ever goal.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see. I know he scored one last season, Connor, and I think it was called off on offside or goaltender interference. One of those bizarre things that the NHL still can't figure out. But, and then, I mean, this guy's come a long way. He's from Denmark, you know, like you told, around in Bakersfield for the 3 seasons, and then, you know, also played at St. Cloud State. Again, a depth signing for the Edmonton Oilers. Nothing huge here where this guy's going to be your 13, 14 forward and probably just play in that bottom six if there's injuries. When it comes to goaltending, Connor, one more on the Edmonton Oilers. And I know I've asked Dino and I've asked Gazzola on the pod. It's not easy to go out and get a number one goaltender. What are you willing to give up? Are you going to the UFA route? There's a lot of trade options, interesting ones. You got one in Pittsburgh with Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry. You got Jake Allen in St. Louis, who they might move on from. Columbus has got a few guys there that they might want to move one guy out. But anyone stand out for you when it comes to the goaltending market? Because we have, and you know, people get upset, like, well, Hernan, you know, you're so negative and all that. But I'm just saying I'm realistic. Well, because I don't think the Oilers can go out and get a legitimate, like, big name goaltender. I think it's going to have to be like a Tristan Jarry. Now, I have a feeling that Pittsburgh's going to keep him and they're going to try to move Matt Murray. that's just my gut telling me right now that that's what's going to happen. Tristan Jarry's younger and he's cheaper. But for you, any guys out there that maybe a name we haven't heard of that you're is kind of like a sleeper pick for you to come to the Edmonton Oilers?
You know what? I mean, probably not, because it's just so heavily talked about in this market and everyone knows, you know, who might be out there. The name Tristan Jarry is very intriguing to me. I was fortunate to watch him a lot in Edmonton.
Yes.
Get a chance to see him on that Memorial Cup run. He's just a big-time player. When the game's on the line, I mean, he's locked in, so that'd be great to have. But nobody knows that better than Pittsburgh. So are they going to let him go? I don't think so. If it's going to be someone, I think it would be Matt Murray. Like you said, a little younger, a little cheaper for Tristan Jarry. That probably keeps him in Pittsburgh. But it is funny how some of these teams, and you listed them off, the Blues, the Penguins, the Blue Jackets, just find these goalies. And not rushing them, the scouting staff must be great. But I'm just looking through the Oilers' draft history, and they've taken one basically every year, maybe not in 2013. And just none of them have really panned out to that level. And I don't know, maybe you have to go back into the history books and try to find someone. Obviously, we know Devan Dubnyk,
yeah.
But it wasn't with the Oilers. It took a little more coaching and kind of working on him, a little more patience. It's unfortunate that the Oilers just can't find that guy. I mean, they found pretty good players almost everywhere else in the draft, but when it comes to goaltending, they just can't lock it down. And, you know, it'd be so much easier just to find that guy in your own backyard. The first contract's going to be a low level, and if you can get success out of him, it just goes so far. It's like having a quarterback on their rookie deal in the NFL. It allows you to spend money elsewhere.
Yeah.
You could find that guy in the NHL and, you know, maybe he comes up at 22, 23, learns for a year and can take the reins after that. It's just such an advantage. And, you know, for the whatever reason, the Oilers just haven't been able to find that despite drafting guys who are pretty highly touted. I guess Stuart Skinner is probably the next one we watch out for. But right now, I mean, we're still impatient. And Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, their years are, you know, slowly trickling away. And I know everyone wants to find that goalie, but I just don't know if the Oilers have the assets right now.
More with Connor Hallie on the other side of the break.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you.
Joined by Connor Hallie from the Jason Gregory Show on TSN 1260. Listen, it's interesting you bring up their draft history because the Oilers have the 14th pick this year. Devan Dubnyk went in the 2004 draft at number 14. And I'm pretty sure, I can't go back that far and remember, but I'm pretty sure Oilers fans were up in arms because you're taking a goalie in the first round. And I say that because Bob McKenzie, I know Craig Button, they have Yaroslav Askarov from St. Petersburg. I know one of them has him at 14, and Bob McKenzie has him at 11. So is it wrong? I don't know if it's wrong, but... Can you take a goaltender in the first round if you think it's the guy, or can you just find those quality ones in the later picks? Because I think it's, if that's a guy you want and if that's a need for your team, you go out and you draft and you don't care about the history or what everybody else is doing. But, you know, he's ranked by some, you know, the guys that have a beat on this, like McKenzie's and the Buttons of the world. They have him pretty high. So if the Oilers are there at 14, this goaltender is there. Now, the Oilers need defense.
Yeah.
They need forwards. They need a little bit of everything. Do you spend that 14th overall pick on a goalie?
I mean, the NHL draft is so unique, right? With other sports, it's almost an immediate impact. Take away baseball. With a first-round pick, you're expecting them to pan out very quickly. In the NHL, it's a, you know, maybe two or three, if that, have an impact in year one. So, yeah, I mean, if you're drafting a defenseman, you know you're waiting probably 3 years. A goalie, probably even longer. I mean, I have no problem with the Oilers looking at that position. We've seen first-round goalies pan out before. We've seen them flock just like any other position. But, you know, like you said, if you're confident and you think this is the guy that could be the backstop for at least a decade, then go pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you said the last time it was in a first round would have been Devan Dubnyk. Didn't quite work out the way they wanted. I actually remember that day. It was my cousin's wedding. And then they drafted Robbie Strump in the first round.
He's making
a return to hockey, actually. He's back after a couple of years out of the game. So
I remember those days.
Yeah. Robbie Strump was like the first YouTube star, I think. Yeah. You saw videos of him.
Everybody loved him here except for Mac T.
I mean, he wasn't wrong because he didn't really have a great NHL career, but he had a long professional career. Yeah. But I think that, you know, everyone is going to rip on your pick almost no matter who you select. Yeah. There's going to be questions. If you're in the scouting staff and you're Ken Holland, I think you have to go with the guy that you believe. And maybe what we should do, and maybe next time I'm on the show, we'll look it up. What's Ken Holland's track record like when it comes to drafting goalies in the first round? Is that something he likes to do? Maybe he's on the side where you can find someone who can win you games without being selected early on. And, you know, the one that comes to mind right now, Carter Hart, second-round pick, I believe, for Philly. We saw him in the WHL. We saw how good he was. There was maybe that bias. We never got a chance to see him on the World Junior level, but... You know, you don't have to find a guy in the first round. I think that's, you know, we don't have to say they must do this. There's always guys, hidden gems, hidden out there. And overall, you need good team defense to make a goalie look really good. So they could work on addressing that as well and maybe coaching that up.
And therein lies the issue, because there's going to be a lot of talent in this draft like there always is. And there's been a lot of 14th overall picks that have become absolute studs, Connor.
Yeah.
There's been a few that have been, you know, misses for sure. But I wouldn't be terribly upset if they took Askarov at the 14th spot if he's there. But it's almost like you almost have to take a forward or a defenseman. Because like you said, Carter Hart, second rounder. And then, you know, Vasilevskiy, another Russian goaltender, drafted 19th overall. He's worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure fans were maybe not up in arms. But we're kind of like, because everybody, no one drafts goaltenders that early, unless you're an absolute, you know, can't miss prospect.
Who was the last can't miss prospect in that? Like Carey Price?
Yeah, I think a Fleury.
Fleury, yeah.
Went pretty high, right? So it's an interesting debate for sure. But again, like the Oilers have so many needs that I don't think wherever they go positionally, I'll be too upset. I know we talked about this on the Two Guys in the Goalie podcast, and most of the guys said you cannot take a goalie in the first round. I don't care where you're picking.
Yeah.
Again, like this guy, he's ranked pretty high by a lot of the, like I said, the experts out there. So there's obviously something there. There's always that risk. Will he come over? And like you said, they probably take longer than defensemen to develop. So the Oilers, I think the window for them is to win now.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people say you got to find that guy that you can potentially drop in on Connor McDavid's wing, who can pot 50, and I don't know if that guy's out there at 14 overall. I'm curious, though, talking about, you know, the two guys and the goalie, not to stray off here.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't take Patrick Waugh first overall? I mean, you wouldn't take Martin Brodeur? Now, that's hindsight, and it's 2020.
Yeah,
but, I mean, there are goalies you would take in a first round because they are that good and they can steal you games. So, yeah, I mean, I like we said, you can find those guys later on, but I just think that if there's a guy out there and you are confident in him that he can be that good, don't worry about what the fans say. Don't worry about what the media says. Make your pick. Trust your gut. You're in that position for a reason. You were hired to do a job. And if you think that guy can take you to the promised land, then don't be a you know what and go do it.
And that's the thing I was saying, like where the Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, you need to get a goaltender in here quick. So maybe being patient, waiting 5 years is not the answer. Connor, man, you live in Edmonton. You know, no matter who they take, there's going to be some negativity towards that pick, even if they move down. Now that's another thing they can do here is move down and then take their goalie later if they want. Now this is. We're doing a lot of what is speculation, but just because the goaltending is a big issue for the Edmonton Oilers, Koskinen's locked in here for the next couple of years at a hefty price, and for me, he's not a guy that can win. And we're back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On podcast. I'm Hernan Salas, joined by Connor Halley from the Jason Gregory Show on TSN 1260. Let's take a look at the NHL playoffs. Two games tonight, Vancouver. You know what? They've been, I wouldn't say a surprise, Connor, but I've really enjoyed watching them. I love their top six. Quinn Hughes is going to be an absolute stud for them for years to come. And Jacob Markstrom's become an elite number one goaltender, a guy that they need to sign in the offseason. Vancouver plays tonight 7:45 down 3-1. That game four was heartbreak. You know, they go into the third, they're leading, but can't hold on to the lead and just boom, boom. And Vegas is so just big and talented and rough. And they got it all. I mean, there's no weaknesses on the team. Just your thoughts on, you know, is Vancouver likely to come back in this one, or do you think they're as good as done?
I think they're as good as done.
Okay.
And I put me up on the side that I was shocked. I mean, this team did surprise me. After the first game, I thought there's no way they're going to, like, this is going to be a sweep. They have no chance. Vegas was just, they were bullying them out there and having fun doing it, chirping them the whole game.
Yeah.
And for the Vancouver Canucks to bounce back in the fashion that they did, I thought that was really impressive. And I think the future is so bright for this team. People in Edmonton probably don't want to hear that.
No.
But I think that, you know, that's just another really good team in their division that they are going to have to worry about. And doing it without number one overall picks, finding guys, finding their number one goalie, playing a fun brand of hockey. But no, I think the Vegas Golden Knights are just so strong. I mean, you try to find a weakness on that team, it's tough to find. They've got great depth at goaltending, top to bottom in the forwards. They have a nice group. Defensively, they're strong. So I think that it was a great run for the Vancouver Canucks, but tonight, 7:45 puck drop, I think by 10:15, 10:30, they'll be done, and Vegas will be awaiting their next opponent.
I'll ask you this, and Oilers fans might not want to hear it, but I think Vancouver, we both agree, is a better team than Edmonton at the moment. Is their forward group better than the Edmonton Oilers?
Ooh, geez. I mean, I will say no. It's
really?
I mean, I guess top to bottom,
yeah,
maybe it is. The top-end talent, for sure, the Oilers have them outmatched. And I think when you have two of the top five, maybe top three forwards in the world, you should not have a group in the NHL that could be better than you, because the Canucks don't have anyone in the top 10, I'd even say. So maybe top to bottom, yeah, but I still think that when you put the emphasis on the top two lines to really carry you, and you have McDavid and Draisaitl, they should be able to be more productive and do a little bit more. So it's a good question, actually.
Connor Halley joining me. Vancouver, JT Miller, Bo Horvat, Brock Besser, Tyler Toffoli, Elias Pettersson, Tanner Pearson. That's your top six. That's very, very good. It's like a sexy lineup. Like, you look at it and you're like, I like it. Let's look at the Edmonton Oilers. Outside of Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, you can throw Yamamoto in there, who had a good half season. Zach Cassian, Josh Archibald, whoever you want there. Athanasio. And that's why I think you have to say Vancouver now, because on McDavid, it's a revolving door, and we don't know who the hell's going to play with him. And that's why you need to find a guy that can play with him, kind of like what Nugent, Draisaitl, Yamamoto created, but with Connor McDavid. And that's why I say I'd give the slight edge. I don't know if I'd give the slight. It is a tough question, and I asked it. Like, I don't know what to say here, because Connor McDavid's the best player in the world, Leon Draisaitl, back-to-back 100 seasons.
Yeah.
But it's not just about two players. And I think I'd have to give the edge to Vancouver right now.
And I mean, the part where it obviously drops off is Cassian, Archibald, like those guys.
Athanasio.
Yeah. I mean, they go up and down the lineup. So if we're just talking strictly top sixes, you got the two better players, but maybe the depth overall. And then when you spill it down into the third and fourth line, I mean, I think James Neal, a very good player.
Yeah,
there's lots.
Chase on.
There's guys who have done it before for the Oilers. It's a good question.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of top-end talent versus depth. And
they're the better team for you, Vancouver?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will they be the best team next year in the West? Will they be the best team next year when it comes to Canadian teams? Ranking all the Canadian teams going in, from what we know, with the rosters they have now, is Vancouver your top team for the Canadian teams?
I would say probably. I mean, we'll say probably not Montreal. Not Ottawa. Toronto, geez, the talent is there, but they can't put it together. Edmonton, Calgary. Yeah, I mean,
Winnipeg.
They went through so much. I really like Winnipeg, and I really like what Maurice did with that team, starting from the start of the year with Bufflin, and then there was injuries and all those things. I mean,
but Sarah Valley said today on his trade bait board, it's Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers are going to be on there. And Frank Cervelli's in the know. Maybe one gets moves. I know I said Vancouver is the best team heading into next season. I think Winnipeg can push them. I hope Edmonton can make the proper transactions here moving forward and make their team better. And Calgary's a toss-up for me.
It's not clear-cut.
No
one's going to say like it's undisputed they're the best team. I think there's a lot of teams that still can be. I mean, when you hear the possibility of Patrick Laine being up for grabs as an Oiler fan, I mean,
or even Ehlers for that, right?
I mean, we live through the 1260 text line, and trade proposals come in all the time.
Yeah.
That's a name that I'm sure people will throw out there. And I don't think the Oilers have the assets to bring him in, but that would be a fun one to watch. I really like Patrick Laine when it comes to pure finishing. I know he's had ups and downs, but he's kind of streaky. When he gets going, he's as good as there is out there.
Calm man, one last one for you. I know you're busy getting ready for your Tuesday show on the Jason Gregor Show. I'm joined by Connor Halley. Jordan Eberle's New York Islanders. Are you surprised they're this good?
I think, yeah. I would say for sure. At first glance, yeah, I am surprised. But then when you look into it a little bit more, Trotz, I mean, a proven track record of playing good hockey.
Yeah,
they're locking it down. They're not necessarily always going to be the most exciting team, but there's flashes of it.
Yeah,
they have a good group, and they've actually been very enjoyable, and I'm a little bit jaded because I think we might have Jordan Eberle on our show later this week.
Oh, nice.
Plug.
Nice.
It's someone we've been working on having. But no, I think at first glance when we started this whole playoff run, I was kind of down on them, and then you actually dig in. And it's a team that is not the sexiest team. I mean, it's the New York Islanders. It's kind of, you know, little brother in New York, and do they have an arena? What's going on? They don't maybe get the national recognition they deserve, but when you actually look at their squad, it's a pretty good group. So, yeah, underrated for sure. I didn't think they'd go up, you know, 3-1 on the Flyers, because the way the Flyers were playing so good, but they've stifled them, and the Flyers aren't getting that top line scoring, which is hurting them, obviously, the guys who are doing it in the regular season. But, you know, you got to give credit to the Islanders for continuing to do that. So, yeah, I think they are a little bit underrated, but should they be? I mean...
And it's funny because when Tavares left to go to Toronto, we thought, oh, this is the end of the Islanders. And they've done nothing but win and win a couple rounds and be the better team, which is, you know, Peugeot was a great signing. And they got nice defensemen in Adam Pellick, Devin Taves, and just such a nice group. Their top six is very, very good as well, you know, with Anders Lee, Barzell, Ebbs, and Josh Bailey, man. What a player, man. Like, he's been so dynamite in these playoffs, so it's been fun to watch. Connor, I want to thank you for joining me on the Locked On Oilers podcast. To kick off the week, we'll see what happens with the Vancouver Canucks tonight, if they can stay alive in their series. Con, man, thanks so much for doing this. Always fun talking hockey, and we might have to start up our own NFL one here pretty soon, eh?
Yeah, I mean, we've got the time. We might as well. There's so much going on every day in the NFL, but thank you for the invite at any time, Hernan.
Big shout out to the Con man, Connor Halley, for joining me on today's episode. Hit me up at Hernan the Man at Locked On Oilers. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, and download the latest episode on your favorite app. Make sure to check out the other NHL shows. You got Locked On Bruins, who had an excellent episode as they chatted with Emily Cave. Producer Felipe's giving me the good old finger wag here. A good time to wrap up this podcast. Thank you for listening. Make sure to download. I'm Hernan the Man. This is Locked On Oilers podcast. Have a great day. Chat with you tomorrow.